It's about a conversation in print in the form of a book between you and your readers.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok. My guest today is Mike Capuzzi. Here's three facts I think you should know about Mike. One, he has written and self-published 19 books, including two Amazon number one bestsellers. Two, he has helped 225 business owners, entrepreneurs, and corporate leaders publish their own short books. And three, he didn't start out that way. He started out in engineering. He has an engineering degree from Penn State, and he moved into marketing starting in 1994. Mike Capuzzi, welcome to Your Intended Message.
George, I thank you for that, and I thank you for the opportunity to be on your show today.
Delighted to be talking with you. It's always a thrill to talk with an author. I've been through the experience. I know what it feels like, but I have no idea what it feels like to have written 19 books. So I've got a ways to go there. Mike, what's behind the theory, the practice of writing and publishing these books? Why are you doing it, and what are others getting from how? I know there's two questions there.
Well, first of all, good question. The thought is, first of all, George, the thought is always about serving the reader first. So I always come up with ideas for my books that I think will appeal to a certain, you know, a target reader. It's not everybody. So it's either maybe in some cases, someone who wants to learn how to publish a nonfiction book. Maybe it's, you know, there's another topic, how to use books in your marketing, et cetera. So the first thought is always about how can I serve a very targeted reader with some helpful information. So that's the focus on the reader first. Obviously for myself, my own business, I own a publishing company. It's about trying to get new clients, right? Prospects, clients, all that good stuff. So it's about constructing what we call SHOOKs, which stands for short helpful books, about, you know, creating these short helpful books that can be read in about an hour or two that help a targeted reader, but then also extend an invitation to those readers that want more from me to jump on a call, jump on a Zoom meeting, and see if maybe working together is the right, you know, connection.
And I'm an avid reader, and gee, I sure like the idea, the concept of being able to finish a book in an hour or two, because some of them I just never get finished.
No. Yeah, it's crazy. And I am too, George. And back when I was younger, I would read cover to cover. Like, I would feel guilty if I didn't read a book, you know, cover to cover. And now I'll buy books, and I'm lucky if I, you know, I would say more than half, I'm lucky if I read in complete. And I typically, I mean, fiction, I have no problem. When I'm reading for enjoyment and that kind of thing, it's not a problem. But nonfiction, where you're trying to maybe read on a specific topic that you're interested in, I'm still amazed that people will write a 300-page book that could have been a 100-page book if they just took out all the, you know, unnecessary repetition and just the, you know, it just goes on and on and on and on. So yeah, I'm like you. I find it more of a challenge as I get older. I think most of us are short on time, or at least we appear to be. Therefore, it's appreciated. But yeah, this idea of a short book that can be read in an hour or so. But more importantly, George, it does help that reader. It is a helpful book. It's not, you know, just blah, you know, content because I want to publish a book. It is meant to help that reader. So it's a powerful combination.
And I'm wondering, so your words resonated with me, serving the reader first. So I'm guessing that, and tell me if this is true, your advice might be that for a person who's thinking of writing a book, don't think about writing what you know, which you will do, but instead think about who is it you can help with what you know, now start writing.
Absolutely. So I mean, listen, you can write a book for whatever you want. Obviously, there's passion books, there's passion projects, there's hobbies and stuff like that. But if your goal, as I mentioned earlier, if you are a nonfiction book author who has a business that you want to connect through your book with your products and services, then yes, you would be serving your readers best if you thought about them, what they want, what they're trying to achieve, what they're looking to have, whatever it might be. And if you can have a book that addresses that, then you will, chances are, have a highly successful book, not only for the reader, but for your business.
Some authors write a book and it goes wildly successful, and then they become a speaker going around speaking about the book. But not everyone's book is going to become wildly successful. And the book isn't just to make you a speaker. What does it do for the small business owner? What does it do for the corporate executive?
Yeah. Again, another interesting question, and I'll remind me to make sure I answer it in two ways because there's two different audiences. So I would say about 2/3 of our clients are local business owners, the local retailer, the local physician, the local chiropractor, the local insurance agent. And that person, woman or man who writes that book, they typically, George, want to be what I call 5-mile famous. They want to be the number one chiropractor, the most sought after dentist, the, insurance agent who's known for XYZ, whatever it might be. So they're not looking to be a worldwide phenomena. They are looking to be, an established authority in their community. So for them, it's really about, being different than their competition. Each one of those types of business owners has a ton of competition. Most of their competition, if not all, have never written a book. So right there, it differentiates them. So being 5-mile famous for the local business owner is definitely, one of the biggest benefits. For the corporate leader, the entrepreneur, the business owner like myself who has a worldwide audience, we have clients all over the world. It's a bit different. It is more about establishing your authority, your expertise on a worldwide level. Doesn't necessarily mean speaking, though I have spoken on stage several times over the years, but it's really about, being a credible source, a podcast guest, a media interview, prospect for media. And it's really about using your book to establish that expertise, that authority, that credibility.
And you're right. I can imagine if I'm looking for a service provider, whether it's a dentist, a chiropractor, a lawyer, an accountant, and I'm introduced to the person and with the phrase, well, did you read their book? Oh, here's their book. Now suddenly, oh, what about the rest of you guys? You guys got any books? No. Okay. I'll talk to this person here. They were bold enough to put what they know and think on paper. So it gives me a chance to examine their thinking.
Absolutely. And for the reader, I mean, most readers in this day and age, George, still put a high level of respect on a published book author. Doesn't mean they have to be a New York Times bestseller by any means, but the fact that they can physically hand somebody their book and say, check this out, check out page 20 where I, whatever it might be. There's a little thing that happens, special thing that happens. I call it the author factor, that it's about that impact that you being a published book author has with prospects, readers, et cetera. You may never know about it, or you may only know about it from time to time, but it's there. It's very real. And even in today's age, George, where self-publishing is a lot easier, there's obviously millions of books on Amazon and other online retailers, but it's still something special.
Can a book help a plumber?
Absolutely. There's nobody that I can't think of. A pizza shop owner, a plumber. Matter of fact, no kidding. I just posted today, of the recording of you and me, on my podcast, a gentleman who was a master plumber. He was an Army veteran, master plumber, and he wrote a book, only one book, 20 some odd years ago, that was about business systems for plumbers and contractors. So to your point, no lie, this was 20 some odd years ago. I'm not sure how successful it was for him, but he did it. And the answer is yes. I mean, if you are in the business where you are truly helping your customers, your clients, your patients, your students, whatever you have in your business, if you are in the business of serving them and helping them, and you do it in a unique way, or you do it a little bit differently, or you do it in a way that you really want to talk about, yeah, being a published book author can definitely help. And even if the people you give it to don't necessarily read it right away, they may read it, they may hand it off to a family member, a friend. Most people don't throw away books, George. So it's kind of like this business card on steroids where it's not going to get thrown away. And if they read it, great. Hopefully they will. But even if they don't, it has a pass along effect. And it's sitting up there on the bookshelf on a desk, and it reminds people of you. So yeah, I think just about any type of business owner could figure out a way to use a book in their business.
And I'm hearing that the book is not meant to be a direct revenue generator. It's not about selling the book.
Yeah, that's a mistake a lot of folks make, in my opinion. So I pointed out, I actually wrote a book called The Magic of Free Books, because I'm a big believer. The mind shift needs to be, for the kind of books that we're talking about today, the kind of books we publish for clients, it's about, listen, this should be a book we try to give away as much as possible. Or yeah, you might sell it for a couple bucks if it's on Amazon or whatever. But that's not the goal, George. The goal is about your products and services that are in the back end of your business, which are typically, you know, they ought to be high enough that justify, you know, this kind of funnel, if you will. But no, don't trip over, you know, dollars to pick up a few pennies of book sales. You'll never get rich. Most people will never get rich, myself included, by publishing a book and trying to make money with that book. On the front end.
What about writing the book? Now, the thought of writing a book, I guess, probably frightens a lot of people. Some people have a hard time just writing a two-page letter.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of speed bumps, a lot of mental, you know, am I smart enough? Am I a good enough writer? Who's going to want to read what I have to write, et cetera? There's a lot of that head trash. But again, I go back to, George, two things. One, if you are in the business where you are serving clients successfully, customers, whatever it is you have, then that's a good reason to consider. And second, there are people out there that need, want, and should have the information that your potential book will have. You don't know that right now. You don't know who they are right now. But by the very fact that you are not creating that book and getting out of your own way and getting that information out there is not serving those people that need that information in the unique way that you can do it. So I always try to turn the spotlight off of you know, oh, woe is me. I can't do this. I don't have the time. I'm not a good enough writer. There are many, many different strategies, George, to get around all of that. Put the spotlight on your intended reader and the fact that if you don't get that book out there, you're not helping him or her.
Now, that's an interesting motivation. If I don't put this book out there, then there are people who are not benefiting from my wisdom, my experience, my perspective.
Yep. And they never will. If it's trapped up in here or trapped up on your hard drive because you started it. I mean, there are so many ways these days. And, you know, with our books, so the typical business book, George, is, you know, roughly what, 200 to 300 pages. And that's like, you know, 75 to 100,000 words. It's substantial. Our short, helpful books, our Shooks, are anywhere from 12 to 15,000 words. Dramatically different. It's a real book. It looks like a real book. It sits on a bookshelf. It has F, you know, it's something you can feel good about, but it's shorter. It's more specific. It follows a specific recipe. And when you know kind of what you're writing to, what your goals are, and you have a formula like we have, it makes it a heck of a lot easier. Whether you write it, whether you have a ghostwriter, whether you talk it out and have it transcribed, multiple ways of doing it. But it's not this monumental tact or this monumental idea of I've got to write a 300-page book. It's going to take me 5 years to do. That's not what this is about.
How long does it typically take?
Typically, for a client of ours that is working, you know, and doing what they're supposed to be doing on their side of the equation, 8 to 12 weeks. It could be a lot quicker. Unfortunately, it can be longer sometimes too, but it can be very quick. Our world record, George, is 23 days. 23 days from idea to printed book in hand. Now that, interestingly enough, was for a client who's a lawyer. She was keynoting at an event and she's like, I want to have something to be able to give away that's different. And now she has a team behind her. So she had people, you know, writing, helping with the content. We rushed the book to print and it was a self-published book. And she went to that event as a keynote speaker with her printed books in hand.
Now you mentioned that there are many strategies and you dropped quickly a couple ideas. Please tell us about two or three strategies that work for most people.
Well, I mean, I still think the best strategy. Now, I'm a bit old school, but I still think the best strategy is writing your own content. Dedicating, first of all, again, setting the goal, knowing your intended reader, why you're trying to help him or her, and then setting time aside, whether it's every day, every other day, once a week, you know, setting up a schedule, have a deadline, because if you don't have a deadline, it's just going to kind of languish. And just write. So that's one thing, just write the content. The second strategy, George, would be leveraging existing content. Maybe you've been writing a blog for years. There's a lot of gold in that blog that you can leverage. Maybe you're doing a podcast. You can leverage content from the podcast. I had a client where she wrote a local column in a newspaper for multiple years. We leveraged content from that. So there's a lot of content you probably already have that you might be able to do. Another strategy is this concept of talking your book out. So some people are better off just sort of, you know, recording random thoughts, having it transcribed, and whether they write it and then craft it into written content or hire someone to do that, that's another strategy. And then another one would be hiring a ghostwriter, which for some people, it's the only way it'll get done. I'm not a super fan of that, but for some people, it can be the only way the book will ever get done. Having someone else write it in your voice. And that's the, you know, a lot of big, well-known business books that are out there were ghostwritten.
And I've learned that, yes, there are a lot of authors who are not writers.
Yeah, that's true. And to that point, though, George, the kind of books that we are talking about here, these nonfiction business books, lead gen, that kind of thing, these aren't about being, you know, the next New York Times bestseller, the next, you know, Shakespearean work. It's about a conversation in print in the form of a book between you and your readers. So I stress less about that kind of literary perfection, and I'm more concerned about creating and bringing my personality. So I always say, don't worry about perfection, focus on personality. That is a better strategy for most people. So what if it's not perfect? There's no such thing as a perfect book, by the way. No matter what editor, copy editor you have working with you, you'll always find things after it's published. But focus on bringing your personality through. That will help create a connection with readers. And I think it's much more important than literary perfection.
Now, I'm finding a similarity with why people might appear on podcasts, because it's about personality. So for the same reason that you might appear on a podcast, because it gives you a chance for people to listen to you, hear how you sound, sense your passion, your direction. And so now the short books is just a way of putting it into print and just distributing it in another medium. So here's my question. If you can appear on a podcast and have an intelligent conversation, is that a pretty good clue that you can probably publish a book?
Yeah. Well, the short answer is yes. Now, not everybody needs a book. You know, most people who publish a book, whether they were avid readers, they grew up loving books, whether they've just always wanted to be an author, to be able to hand someone a book, that's probably one of the big reasons. But then, It's interesting. I'm working with a gentleman. He was in the U.S. Air Force for years and years. He was a weapons officer. So he was in the two-seated jet, you know, fighter jets, but he was in the back seat, I think it is. So he wasn't the pilot per se.
So he was a goose.
Is it a goose? Is that what they call it?
Goose and
oh, and in the, yeah, yeah. Right. Probably. I don't know. But the interesting thing, George, is he just said to me the other day, I'm helping him just with some ideas. I've gotten to know this guy. And he's now, in the next year, he'll probably publish 3 or 4 books. And they're good. Like I read like an advanced release copy of one of his books. And he's got an amazing skill. And he sent back to me, and I said this in an email. I said, this is really, you're really a good writer. And he said, of all the things that I ever thought about growing up, being an author was never one of them. But he's been bit by the bug. He's seeing other people's lives, even with the advanced readers, you know, seeing that they're finding a positive energy and a positive benefit from the books. So whether you've always thought about writing a book or, you know, it's something that you just kind of figure, hey, this could be something kind of cool. Or valuable, not only again for my own business, but for others. Yeah, I mean, I think they're all good reasons why you can, you should be an author.
I recently picked up copies of these two books that you did for Podmatch. Mm-hmm. Alex Sanfilippo, the founder of Podmatch, does the introduction, and then you have, and then what I found interesting is that the chapters are just other people's contributions. So it's a compilation,
yep.
which is basically let other people write the book for you.
Well, first of all, thank you for, I didn't know that, but thank you for grabbing those. And they're hot off the press within the last month. George, the first book I published was in 2007. It was a compilation book. It was an anthology book. And you know, you and I were talking earlier about Philadelphia. It was about 32 Philadelphia area business owners. It's behind me. It's called Dream Inc. And 31 plus myself, business owners of different levels contributed to that book. So I came up with that idea in September of 2007. And maybe it was 2006. And then by January, so just a couple of months later, George, that book was selling and working for us. Because you're right, instead of me writing every chapter, every piece of content, I got contributors. And over the years, George, I've done that. My 18-year-old daughter, when she was a senior in high school, published a compilation book about dog rescues. She raised a ton of money, got a ton of media exposure. Little plug, we just released I Love America just a couple of days ago on Veterans Day here in the United States. I wrote the introduction, I wrote the conclusion. But I, you know, 13 military veterans share their story in that. So yes, compilation books, anthology books, they're not ideal for everything or everybody, but they are a different type of book that you can publish where the onus is not on you to write every word.
And now, Mike, you got me thinking here. Here I am, well over 100 podcasts on this podcast, and I'm thinking there's been a lot of great content that people have offered. There's a source, there's a mine that I need to harvest.
Absolutely. You definitely, George, can do that. Other people have done it. I have a book over here on my shelf that is a hardcover book from a very well-known podcaster where he took, I don't know, the first 50 or 100 episodes and put it, you know, just the transcription. You got to clean it up a bit. You don't have to make it, again, literary perfect. The spoken word is different than the written word, but yeah, there is potential gold there with your past episodes. You the best of the intended messages, the best of George Torek, whatever it might be, you can definitely leverage that.
Got me thinking here.
It's work though. It is work. I just interviewed someone on my podcast that did that. They did a book where they took their best episodes. They had someone clean it up. Because again, the transcription is never perfect, but I've thought about it I've had on my to-do list, the best of Mike Capuzzi. I've written a blog for years and years. I've got 150 episodes of my podcast, but it's just one of those things. I just, you know, it ranks down, but if I really wanted to, I could take that content. And maybe for someone who's never done a book or they haven't done a book in a while, it could be a quick, fast way to get a book out there.
So there's more than one channel. And when you produce a book, Then you got to go and print them. How many do you print? Because, you know, the traditional publishing model was you had to print like 5,000 copies to make it worthwhile, you know, to have a decent price per book.
Yeah. So that book I mentioned, Dream Inc., back in 2007, I printed up 3,000 of them. I can remember the day they were delivered to our office. I was like, oh my gosh, that's 3,000 books and boxes is a lot. But that was in order to get the price where we needed it, you know, 3,000 was the number. That was obviously over a decade ago that things have changed. Amazon has made it very, very simple. George, you can print one book on Amazon and, you know, your author copy, which is when you publish a book on Amazon, you now can order author copies as your own, you know, your own books. You can order as little as one or as many as $999, I believe it is. So they have removed, and the price is the same, by the way, whether you order one or $999. The only difference is shipping. But yeah, those days are long gone. We either publish books through Amazon, so Amazon's printing them, or we have a book printer. Now, there's a different reason why we use one or the other. But when we do a book printer, typically the minimum order is 100 books, which again, is nothing. So it can be even less, but your price per book goes up dramatically. So yeah, but those days are long gone, George.
And the approach for the book, should it be the best books, the most successful, effective books? So let's get out of the compilation, or maybe even could be a compilation. Should it be, here's how to, here's the steps to do this, or here's ideas on how to be more effective in this field, or here's how to make better use of these tools, or here's how to improve your health, your wealth, your joy in life? Or should it be those kind of how-to books?
Well, how-to book is definitely a powerful nonfiction book type for sure. You know, when we work with a client, and they all work directly with me, we discern all that. We kind of go through and figure out, is this the best way to do this? Is it a how-to book? Is it an opportunity book? Is it a secrets, you know, whatever the format might be, the structure that we want to present. But again, it all starts, George, with knowing your target reader, knowing who that person is and what they want. Are they looking for how-to? Maybe they want you to do it. So maybe they're looking for what we call more of an opportunity book, where you're describing the opportunity of working with you. There's no short, fast answer. However, a how-to type format is typically a very good, you know, sort of umbrella for the kind of books that we're talking about.
And it just occurred to me that when I go to YouTube, I'm typically looking for how to. And does that suggest that maybe that's a good place to research if there's a need for what your expertise is?
Yeah, it could be for sure. Amazon, obviously, finding other books in that genre, if you will, or that niche. But listen, again, if you're a business owner who's already serving customers and clients, et cetera, you should probably have a pretty good feel what they're looking for. Another reason, George, a lot of folks that we work with write a book is because they're constantly repeating the same information over and over, whether it's at the start of the relationship, during the process of working together. And a book serves that purpose, so that, you know, maybe the book is written so that, you know, here's what it looks like to work with me. Here's all the steps. And oh, by the way, if you want to work together, here's an invitation. So there, you know, that's another strategy where it's the same information you're repeating over and over again. That would be another good reason to consider, you know, publishing a book.
I imagine that every business owner, every business leader repeats information to clients, to staff, to suppliers. And wow, what an impression that would make if, you know, I'm glad you asked that. And here it is. It's covered in detail in chapter 3 in my book, but here, take the whole book and have a look at that. And that'll give you an idea of how this is going to work, how our relationship's going to work, or my approach.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Your philosophy, especially if you do things differently, whether it's, you know, maybe it's a bit outside the box of what most people do. For example, I worked with a dentist years ago. His style of dentistry, he does not use, well, he's, unfortunately, he's passed away now, but he did not use mercury or fluoride. That's a biological dentistry. It's a very unique form. So it's a bit different. He published a shook, a short helpful book about why those mercury and fluoride can be potentially, you know, unhealthy for you. That was a smart reason for that book. He did something different and he wanted to use the book to explain it.
Oh, that's curious. So his philosophy was not to use those chemicals, and he wrote a book about why. And yep. So now that positions him, yep. One is an expert, but it also, you know, explains here's why, and right. you don't have to come to me, but here's why you should avoid these chemicals. Don't go to a dentist who uses them.
Absolutely. It's a bit contrarian. But it has worked very well. It did work very well for him. So yeah, it's some people have more of a contrarian, like I said, sort of outside the box way of doing things, and that could be another good reason why. I actually worked with another dentist. I'm looking at her book. She has a shook called Keep Your Teeth. I'm looking at it over here, and again, not that it was outside the box, but she had a really unique holistic approach to dentistry that a lot of dentists don't necessarily have, or at least they don't articulate. And she published a book about keeping your teeth for life, which is actually, that's a big, we call it a big promise. That's a big promise. I have another dentist. I feel like I'm talking about dentists. His shook is called Snore No More. He wrote a book about, ways to not snore, which obviously, again, is a very big promise. So, again, lots of different reasons why you might want to consider publishing a short, helpful book.
And I heard that. So one of the purposes of the book and the title is a strong promise.
It could be, for sure. Yeah. It's always, think about it. When you go on Amazon, you're just kind of scrolling through, what books capture your eyeballs first. So yeah, a title is a critical part of this. A well thought out title is a critical part of this. And yeah, having a good promise is one of the strategies we consider.
And Mike, people can find out more information. You have an offer of three of your books. And where can they find that?
Yeah,
we'll include the link in the description as well.
Now, it's not the printed versions, George, but I call it my magic kit. So it's the magic of shooks, the magic of short books, and the magic of free books. And these are very helpful. I call it my magic kit. So if they go to mikecapuzzi.com/magic, you have to put your name and email, because I'm going to email you the links. You can read them online. It's a really neat format we use. It's not a PDF. It's, you can read it on your phone, on a computer, or on your tablet. Let me know you heard me on, you heard me on George's podcast, and you'll be able to read those. There's nothing, it's not samplers of the full versions. They're on sale on Amazon, one of them's on sale on Amazon. The others are used privately, but they're great books. And it'll definitely give you a different viewpoint, George, on why to write a book, how to write a book, and how to use a book, which we didn't even talk about, but that's even the more important part, is how you're going to use it consistently.
Perhaps meet for another conversation. Mike, before we wrap up, if you could give one, two, or three pieces of advice to a person who's listening and thinking, I never wrote a book. Where should I start?
I would start with your intended reader first. How are you going to help them? That would be the first part. Second place I'd start, George, is, am I committed to doing this? Because we both know there's a ton of people that have either started a book and never finished it or never started it. Are you committed to doing this? It's going to be work regardless. I make it pretty easy for our clients, but it's still work. So your target reader, are you committed? And then just start doing research. You can self-publish. If you have a really big idea, maybe you work with a traditional publisher. If that's what the route you want to take, there's a ton of great books on Amazon about writing your own book. The Magic of Short Books is a great book that you can get, what I just mentioned earlier. But I would say this, George, don't let your head trash, don't let technology, don't let other people's comments about your writing or whether or not you're able to do all this, don't let any of that stand in the way. If you're helping people, If you have a unique way of doing what you do, serve the reader, get the book out there.
Powerful advice. Thank you, Mike. My guest today is Mike Capuzzi, reminding you that your book starts by thinking about how you will serve the reader.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.